Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad to be back with you guys this morning. Michaela and I had a blast last week at Comic-Con in Austin, but I missed you guys so much. I always do whenever I don't get to be here on a Sunday morning. And so I'm just so grateful to be back with you right now. You know, one of the things that I found interesting as we were at the Comic-Con last week was just like this sense of family that people go that go to these Comic-Cons feel. It was very clear that a lot of these people, they knew each other from previous conferences, that maybe they were in organizations and clubs together, and they were just so kind and generous and thoughtful toward one another. There was never, ever an issue, ever an issue. And one of the things that was funny is that one of the actors, whenever it was time for his panel, he started talking about that. He just said how much he loves being a part of these kind of events because of the family that he feels when he's there. That he knows that he's going to be loved on, that he knows he's going to be known, that he gets to know other people and see familiar faces, and he absolutely enjoyed that. And then there was this other incredible moment when one of the other actresses was up on the panel, and a lady came to ask her a question, but really it kind of turned into this really special moment where she said, because of this particular actress's involvement with children, specifically with special needs, that she said, my own son's life has been saved because of the work that you've done with special needs. And I just want to tell you thank you. And it was so cool because it was kind of one of those tender moments where the actress then said, hey, can I come down and give you a hug? And so they came down and she came down and she just hugged on her for a few minutes. And the only thing that went through my mind as we're kind of experiencing this together is, this is what the church is supposed to look like. Like, this is what church is supposed to look like, that we have this thing that we share in common. And that thing that we share in common is the love of Jesus Christ. He binds us together. He brings us together. And then we begin to love and pour out our love to others because of his love for us. It's a family, right? This is what the church is supposed to look like. We're supposed to be a family. Well, this morning, I want to read something to you from one of our family members. She wrote this last week while I was gone. I got a chance to read it. Leanne Sebesta. I'm just so grateful that she told me not to say her name, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that she's part of our family. I just really mean that. And I don't want to read this to you because it meant so much to me, and I hope that it means a lot to you because it's written to you guys as a church. And so I just want you to hear her, what she says. The people of this church, they're always smiling, saying hello, even a hug from a friendly face without knowing their name. The environment, I feel the love from the moment I walk in the church. God embraces me with his love for this community. And it spreads that love to all at Community Fellowship. And she kind of goes on and she says this, I could always feel a hole in my heart. I could feel the emptiness inside, trying to always fill the hole with other substances. But I would wake up and the hole was empty again. But my heart is filled with Jesus. My family, my friends, old and new, I know I am so blessed. With the help of Community Fellowship, I'm filled to the brim with love and happiness. A new dedication, putting my life in the hands of God. His way is better, and I thank him for Community Fellowship in my life. Amen, right? That is what church is supposed to look like, that we are a family that deeply loves and cares and is involved with one another. And when people come into this place, it's like, oh my goodness, these people are crazy love. I just feel love. It's just ridiculous, right? But that's what it means to be a family. That's what it means, and that's what it looks like to be a family. Well, speaking of family, last week we started a two-part series that we're going to finish up today on parenting and discipleship. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, And we're going to begin reading in verse 4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your house and on your gates.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. So just kind of a quick reminder, kind of a summation of what we talked about last week. We saw how the scriptures tell parents that they are the ones who are primarily responsible for the discipleship of their children. It's not the church, it is parents. Parents are supposed to bring up their kids and cultivate their kids in understanding the relationship that they have with the Lord. We even saw how Solomon, the great wise Solomon, compared children to arrows in the hands of a warrior that are supposed to be flung out into the world to help create and make a powerful impression on the world. We saw that from Psalm 127. And we also talked about how our job as parents is to continue setting the target, giving them a target of what genuine faith is supposed to look like. And we do that primarily by modeling that faith to our children. That we, first of all, have a relationship with the Lord, that we are modeling that faith to our children. And we talked about how children, they need to see us as parents spending time with the Lord. They need to see us sitting down and studying and reading our Bible. They need to see us in the moments and situations of life. They need to see us in prayer, asking God for his wisdom and his discernment on the things that are going on in our life. And that they need to see us in a group with like-minded people who have access to speak into our lives, to challenge us, to help us grow. Now, when I was younger, my parents were involved in a group like that. They modeled this for me. So that every Sunday night, they would get together with a group of adults who would study the scripture together, and then they would talk about the things that were going on in their life. And I loved it because it was Sunday night cereal group, and we got cereal for dinner, right? That's one of those things you don't get to do all the time. So I loved it because I got to have cereal for dinner, but I also love it because my friends were there. But one of the things that deeply humbled me a few weeks ago was that after my grandma passed away and we were honoring her at her memorial there in Dallas, many of those same people, those same adults, came walking into the room. And mind you, my parents have not seen them in years. My parents live in Arkansas now, so they haven't seen many of these people in years. But those people showed up to be there for my dad in his moments of hurt. Because that's what genuine community looks like. That's what it's supposed to be like. We all need people in our lives whenever we're going through the hurts and the difficulties of life. And here's what I want you to hear this morning. It may be that the thing that God wants you to walk away from this message hearing this morning is that you stop sitting where you're at and you get involved in a group. Emily told you a minute ago that groups are coming up. Maybe God's speaking to you saying, hey, I don't want you to be unknown anymore. I want you to be known. I want you to be involved in a group of people that are going to challenge you and grow you. And listen, I want you to hear me say this, because this message is about parenting. It's not about groups. You do that so your children understand that they need that as well. That they need to be involved with people who are going to challenge and grow their faith as well. You're modeling this truth to them. They need to be able to see you do that. Because we all absolutely need that. And I pray this morning that if that's you, that you would be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That you would do what he's asking you to do. Now, we also saw last week that we have to be intentional with the regular time in our day. That those regular rhythms that we have that go on, whether it be breakfast or whether it be us, you know, coming together during the drive time to school or whether it's bedtime, that we have these routines that are part of our life. And all of those routines are supposed to be time where we can kind of point our kids' hearts back to Jesus. That we should be capitalizing on that regular rhythm of pointing them back to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. But it's not just those regular minutes that we have. Because the truth is, there's going to be some times when our kids come home and they're sharing about their day and you don't have it kind of scheduled out. It's unplanned. It's unpredictable. It's unscripted. But in those moments, that's also part of our strategy, that we're ready and willing to be able to lead their hearts back to Jesus in those unplanned moments. The times when they come home and they're just trying to digest and think about, how do I handle these particular situations? Let me give you an example. Several years ago, my oldest daughter, she was new to junior high. She was new to Katy area, and she was new to junior high. And she came home one afternoon, and she was sharing with us how there was a girl in her class that kept on tripping her. She would stick out her leg, and she would trip her every time she came into the classroom. And so Karis was struggling with, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? Right? And the first thought I had was, well, I'll tell you how to handle it. Right? Now, thankfully, the Holy Spirit kind of muted that thought in my mind. And he showed me this. It was an opportunity for me to be able to point my daughter to show the love of Jesus. And so I tried to coach her through, and I said, okay, hey, let's just spend some time praying for her. Because the truth is, she must be hurting. For her to want to hurt someone else, she's hurting, because hurt people, that's what they do. And so we need to pray for her because she's hurting. And I said, then you need to make sure that you take a little bit of time just softly and tenderly to kind of talk to her and say, hey, when you do that, that's really hurting me, and I don't appreciate it, right? To be soft and gentle. And then if there's still a problem, well, then you come talk to Daddy and he'll take care of it, right? But first of all, I think this is what it looks like when we talk about the moments. Right, when we talk about the moments that God wants us to capture, that they're unpredicted and unscripted, this is what it looks like. We take these kind of situations and we turn them back to the gospel, turn them back to the love of Jesus. And I think this is exactly what Moses is talking about in verse 7 there in Deuteronomy 6. When he says, hey, when you're walking along the road, impress God's truth, impress God's commands onto the hearts of your children. You're using those unplanned times, those unpredicted times, the times when they come and they share and they're vulnerable about what's going on in their life with you, you are pointing them back to the Lord. Because here's the thing, your children are just like you. They have two voices that go on in those different circumstances, right? They have the first voice, which is the old self, especially if they know the Lord, if they've trusted in Jesus. They have the old self, the sinful self, that wants everything for me, myself, and I. And then they have the other voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's trying to lead them and shape them and form them into the image of Jesus Christ. And your job as a parent is to help them be obedient to the Spirit of God when they're hearing it. That's your job. Your role in those moments is to help them see, this is what the Spirit of God is asking you to do. This is what you need to do. Be obedient. Follow what the Lord is saying. Now, can I encourage you something here? Can I encourage you that you need to know when your child is most willing to open up about their day? Now, all of us as parents, we recognize, if you have more than one, you recognize this. Our children are very different, right? My first is not at all like my second. They're very different. And that means that if one kid opens up in the evenings before bedtime, and that's kind of when they just start, sorry, I was about to say something I shouldn't have said, but they're about to verbal all over you, okay? Then you have to understand that that may not be the same for your second child. And so our job as parents is to figure out, when are our children the most open about the things that are going on in their life, so that we can take these opportunities, so that we can steer them back to Jesus. We have to know our children. It's the same thing as their love language. Do you know your children's love language? How do they receive love? Because you may be trying to say that you love them and they're not hearing it because that's not the way they receive it. This is the job of a parent. This is what we have to be diligent in. Not just their love language, but when we know that they're going to open up, when they're going to be real to us about what's going on in their life. Now, one aspect of family discipleship that many of the books that I've read, it just seems to leave out, and I don't understand why, as part of their strategy, is just the idea of simply enjoying our children. Now, some of you are sitting there going, right? But that's the truth. We should be enjoying our children. And I think this one's crucial. And I don't know why so many of them leave it out. It's absolutely crucial that we enjoy our children, because one day when they're out of our house, are they going to have the memories pointing them back to what an incredible, fun family they had? Are they going to think about those experiences that they had with you as a parent? Are they going to have those times where they just were enjoyed by you? Those are absolutely important times. And I'm not just talking about the big times. I'm not talking about the big, expensive trip to Disneyland. Okay, I'm talking about those small little moments. You know, the movie nights, the game nights. Those little things, right? Maybe the sitting around the fire pit, just laughing and sharing stories and joking. Or maybe it's even that you go camping and all of a sudden it starts to pour down rain as you're trying to pick up your tent. And so you're running to pick up your tent and your oldest, she slips and falls and she just busts out laughing hysterically. That's a true story. That actually happened. But these are the things that we have to point our children back to. They're the memories that form in them, that remind them that it's a joy to be a part of the family. That's what God wants us to do. They enjoy being part. Because here's the thing. When we do that, we're rooting them in the joy of the family. But not just that. We're rooting them in the joy of a grace-filled life that God has given us. We remind them that this life has joy. There's pain. There's heartache. But there's so much joy. God has given us life. And they can enjoy that with their family, but they learn also to enjoy that on their own. And the last thing we absolutely want to communicate to our children is that God is not a fun God. Some of you maybe grew up in a church where God wasn't fun, right? It was rules and regulations and it was strict. That's not the God of the Bible. I just want to be honest with you. God's the God of humor. He gave it to us. He's a God of joy. He's a God of joy. He delights in us. He does. And one of the things that we have to understand is that if we want them to understand how God delights in them, we have to delight in our children. We have to do it. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah has spent the first two chapters of his book, and he's kind of talking about the impending doom that Jerusalem is about to experience. The city of Jerusalem is about to be overtaken by another people group who's going to come in and they're going to take over Israel, essentially. But then the last few verses, Zephaniah begins to talk about this remnant that's going to come together and be kind of joined together, and they're going to begin singing praises to God. But tucked away in there is this verse that's on the screen, and I want to read it to you. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Catch this. The God who created the world sings over his children. He loves us. He loves us. He enjoys us. Listen, this may be the first time you've heard this said. God delights in you. He formed you, he shaped you, he created you, and he delights in you. I want to share with you what the scriptures call a spiritual song that means a lot to me personally. Growing up, God moved my heart a lot in this song, and I began to use it as a song I would sing over my children so that they could understand my delight over them, but also the Lord's delight over them. And what I want you to do is I don't want you to hear James say it. I want you to hear the Lord say it over you. Can you do that? Let me read this to you. My child, I will sing to you, for you bring joy to me, and my heart takes great delight in you and the way you give your heart to me. My child, I delight in you, for I know that you take delight in me. My child, I delight in you, and I'll always be watching you lovingly, because my child, I delight in you, and I gave my life just to set you free, to delight in me as I delight in you. God delights in his children. The Lord delights in you. And as parents, we have been given these incredible and beautiful gifts, not just to shape and to send out, but to enjoy, to cherish. I love every single one of my girls. They're unique and different. And I love them so deeply. I enjoy them. I enjoy what God does in them. I don't enjoy the mistakes, no. But I enjoy what God's shaping in them. And I love him. And that's what we're supposed to do. The Lord does that for us. And we as parents are supposed to do that with our children, enjoying our children, delighting in our children. That's one of the reasons that last week was so important for me, getting to go with Michaela, to celebrate something that she enjoys. I didn't know a lot about the show that this particular Comic-Con was based on. But you know why I went? Because my daughter enjoyed it, and I wanted to be with my daughter as she enjoyed something she enjoyed. And it was absolutely crucial. She will never forget that, and neither will I. This is what we have to do. These are the moments that we're talking about, the memories that we're talking about. So make the memories. Have fun. Please, please, please do not let your children think that God is boring, because God is not boring. And finally, the last part of this strategy that we've been working through is that if parents, when we're discipling our children, that we're celebrating and commemorating the milestones of God's work in their lives. See, when Moses is giving this command in Deuteronomy 6, the people of God are right on the edge of the Jordan River. They're about to go into the land that God had promised to them. And if you look in the next book in the Bible, Joshua is going to lead the people across the Jordan River. It literally is going to separate, just like the Red Sea did, and they're going to walk across on dry ground. And when they get to the other side, the Lord speaks to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, take 12 stones from the river, and I want you to make a monument to honor me, to remember this moment, to remember what God has done, what I have done right here. And I want you to hear what the Lord says. In the future, when your children ask you, what did these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So God tells Joshua that these stones are to be set up so that every time the people of Israel came by those stones, when they had their children with them, they pointed to those stones and said, let me tell you what God did. This is who our God is. But you know what's so sad? If you were to do a survey of the Old Testament, you would find that what happened is they didn't. They didn't share the stories. They didn't share the commands of God. They didn't share the stories of what God did. In fact, it was so neglected that what happens is the children, instead of understanding and knowing and trusting in the faithfulness of God because of seeing those stories, they became unfaithful. And they began to chase after other gods. Because the parents did not share the stories and the truth of who God is and what God has done. Listen, as parents, we have to share the stories of God's power in our life with our children. They need to know the God moments in our life. Those times when God did something incredible and miraculous in your life. You need to share that with your children. They need to know about that. They need to know when he's speaking to you. When God is speaking to you, they need to know. This is what I felt the Lord was telling me. This is what the Lord was saying. They need to hear that from you. But also we need to point them back to the significant milestones in their life. The things that God did in their life. Helping them not to forget those things. Some of those might be something like a baptism, right? That your child has made a decision to follow Jesus. They've trusted in what he's done. And you gather them together for the whole family together for this huge baptism event where you have this big old party and you celebrate the work of God. Remind your children of those milestones. Or maybe it's that your child, they're turning a certain age and you want to say kind of an affirmation that, hey, you are a young man and you're a young woman. One of my favorite things that we did as a family was that Emily would send out a letter or call or email several of the women in our girls' life whenever they turned 13, and she would have a brunch. She'd invite all those women to come to celebrate them turning 13. But as part of that, Emily would also ask that they would write a letter to that daughter, a letter of encouragement, but also a letter just saying, this is what it means to be a woman. And it was cool. I mean, their great-grandmother, and then my sister, all of that, they were all involved in this process. And again, I didn't even get to be a part of it. But it's still one of my favorite things that we did, this milestone, because we can point to that and say, hey, you remember what your aunt said? Do you remember what your grandmother said? Do you remember what your great-grandmother said to you about being a woman, about who you are? It's a milestone in your life. You see, our prayer as parents is that as they grow older and life begins to kind of wean out their faith, because that's what's going to happen. As they get older, they're going to be challenged. Their faith is going to be challenged. They may even doubt some of the things that you taught them as a parent. And when that happens, we have to be able to point back to those moments in their life, those milestones in their life. Look what God did in your life. It's undeniable. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what he did there? We have to be able to do that. We can point them back to those times where God did something incredible, something that defined who they were. We have to do that. Listen, for some of you in the room, you've never had a milestone of actually confessing your faith in Jesus Christ. You grew up in the church, you heard about Jesus all the time, but you have never actually verbally said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this morning, I believe the Lord wants you to take that step. He wants you to confess that. But I also believe there's others in here that you've never been baptized. And the Lord's been speaking to your heart about that. That you've never gone through and been baptized so that you can know that your old life is gone. And you've been raised to a new life. A new life of following Jesus. Some of you in here, you're feeling the Holy Spirit's conviction about parenting. That he wants you to begin some kind of strategy where you take the minutes of your day and you aim your children's hearts back to Jesus. I pray that you would take that step. This morning, what I want you to hear is that Pastor Ronald, Philip, and myself, we're going to be here. We'd love, if you've never done that, if you need to confess that, if you just need to say, man, I've never said this. I've never said that I trust in Jesus. Or maybe you need to take that next step of baptism. Or maybe you just want to come and say, listen, I'm struggling with how to be a parent. Can you help? I need some help. We're going to be here. We want to do that. That's what we want to do. So I pray in a minute when we close that you would take some time and just come and let us pray for you. Let us talk with you. Last week, I encouraged you with one kind of final closing point. I don't know if you remember what it was, but it was to start somewhere and to start small. Start somewhere and start small. And then we gave you a resource. There was a resource out in the lobby that was kind of a back-to-school resource of kind of helping setting some of the rhythms as you go back into the school year. That resource is still out there. I absolutely want you to grab it if you didn't grab it last week. But there's also another resource out there. It's called Faith Path, and this is just kind of our plan. It has all five of these, the strategies that we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, but it also has the five milestones that we as a church want to celebrate with you as you're raising up your child, that we want to partner with you and how we can help and be a resource to you as you celebrate those milestones. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you grab that as you leave today. Listen, the last thing I want to say that as we close, I want to leave one more thought for you. Because I say this all the time, and it comes to the discipleship of our children. The earlier you can do that, the better. The earlier you start this strategy and this process of discipling your children is absolutely better. And for some of you, you're sitting in here and you're like, okay, but I missed that opportunity. I missed it. My children are in high school. My children are out in college. My children are young adults now. And you're thinking, I missed that. Listen, the earlier is better, absolutely. But now is better than never. Now is better than never. Taking an opportunity to disciple your child. And here's what that might entail. It might entail you calling your child and saying, listen, I missed it when you were growing up. I prioritized things that I shouldn't have prioritized. I made things more valuable than what should have been valuable, and I did not tell you that Jesus is supreme. Jesus is the most important thing. And I want to tell you now that that's the truth in my life. He is. He's the most important thing. And then maybe you need to take a moment just to pray for them over the phone. And then you take opportunities to pray for them outside of that phone call, and you pray over your child. You might think it's too late, but can I tell you something? Our God is the author of time. He can redeem it if he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to with it. So don't wait. Don't say it's too late. Now. Now is better than never. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I know that the passion exuded from my heart about this particular subject. And I pray that it's not a passion of condemnation that people feel, but it's a passion of, God, we want to be people who raise up our children to know and love and follow you. God, that can change this generation and change this world with the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And I pray with everything in me that that would be what's heard this morning. God, we know that all strategies are going to break apart. There's nothing that's going to be full and perfect and fail-safe. But I pray that you would help us to model the truth of a relationship with you. God, and in humility, when we miss the mark, that we confess that to our children. They would see that we need the gospel just as deeply and as badly as they do. But Father, that you would be honored, not just in the way that we live our lives, but you'd be honored in the way that we parent our children. God, that's the desire of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.